Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is what we call the reboot. Reboot. This is episode number one of Gamers United. Actually, yeah, this is the second edition. This is like the next game, sequel to the first game, yeah. But this is the second game. So yeah, call it reboot. Call it what you will. Either way, we're back. And with me today is Mike. Mike, what's going on, man?
What up, guys? What up? I'm back on this joint now.
Yeah, back. He's back. And also with us is Everett. What's going on, man?
Who the hell are y'all?
See, I don't know. You know, you're just some random dude that volunteered to
record. I came home with this brand new green box and I had this thing in it, and I plugged it in, and you guys came out. I don't know what the hell's going on now.
Well, just hang around for about an hour because we're gonna talk about some goodness, man.
All right.
We're going to talk about some games and stuff. So, basically, the idea is, here we are, we're in December. We got two brand new shiny game systems out that everybody's freaking out about. And we're almost at the end of the year. So, this is a really good time to sit back and look and talk about some of the games that came out this year, what made our best of the year, and some stuff that didn't make our best games of the year. So, I'm going to start off, and then you guys can feel free to jump in. We you know, we all took a look, we made our little list, and I decided, well, I'm not going to go in order. But so, technically, what I'm going to do, I'm going to kind of start off at the bottom, because I kind of want to get it out of the way, because it's actually not a this year's game, but hey, that's Diablo 3. Diablo 3 was one of my top five choices. And reason being is, yeah, I know it came out last year on PC, and we knew it had a hell of a time with getting an online component right, not to mention that the auction house was a pure disaster, but it came out this year on console. And to me, that has been the game that I've been looking forward to playing on console, because the closest we got to this game before was Sacred.
Or Dungeon Siege. Remember?
You were excited for it. See, you brought that ugly memory back. Thank you, Mike.
I'm sorry. Hey. You remember that. I rung you out for that. I rung you out for that. Yeah. You were kind of excited.
You put me out there, son.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring back a bad memory, but that's what I remember last time. Yeah.
And actually, truth be told, we haven't seen anything anywhere near close to this since Champions of Norrath, since
Couch Co-op, not Madness,
right? Since Marvel Alliance and X-Men, yeah. All the type games.
Damn, Marvel Ultimate Alliance. And,
I mean, honestly, we've been itching for a game like Diablo, so I still can't fathom why it took so long for them to finally put Diablo on the system, and then it's perfect now. You can play offline, you can play online, you can play with your friends on the couch. Mm-hmm. And they didn't skimp on the graphics. And the control is so simple.
I need to get it. I still want to play it on PC, though. I've always liked Diablo. I grew up watching my dad play Diablo. A lot of famous quotes like, "I don't have my spell ready." That's a famous quote.
health potion.
No, actually, one of my favorite YouTubers, he's doing a hardcore series with Diablo 2. And it's like, and they're playing all multiplayer. It's like a lot of chaos, and they're playing on hardest difficulty. So if they die, they're saying like, "All right, you're dead for good. You can't come back at all." So like, they're screaming at each other, like, "Oh my god, do this, do that!" They got a mage, a healer, and all that good stuff. They're all just screaming on the mic. I was like, it's the craziest thing, but it's so hilarious to just look at.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. I like that.
And really, what gives Diablo its charm, because I know a lot of people that just don't get the appeal of Diablo, is it's the gamer or the geek's closest thing you're going to get to gambling, because the whole idea is no matter how long you play or what you kill, you never know what kind of item that is going to drop.
Right. It's from always what random. You kill.
Yeah, it's something always totally random. I mean, yeah, you always get like generic crappy items, but then you never know when you're going to get that piece of armor that's going to drop that's going to give you like a 10% bonus on fighting other items or
something. That loot that you need, or that money that you need to always get the new shiny armor.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff you can't just buy in the shops. You actually got to go out there and farm for it.
That's why a lot of RPGs are my favorites, because you don't buy weapons, you go find it.
Yeah.
You go do side quests and you work hard to go get it.
Yeah, well, Diablo is nothing but the ultimate side quest. Go out there, and if you kill enough things, you're going to find something.
Yeah, you always do.
Yeah, so that's my first pick. So Let's jump on Everest since this is Everest's first time being here.
Wow, really?
Yeah, really. We're like that right now, man.
Alright. So
what's first pick?
I would say The Wolf Among Us is my first pick.
I'm sorry, say that again.
The Wolf Among Us.
Okay, you know what? I've heard.
How is that?
Yeah, actually? I've heard about this game. What is it?
It is. Okay, you got the comic book, guys. You ever read a comic book called Fables?
Of course. Yeah.
I did. I
so it's that. It's so imagine the comic book of Fables in the style of the good Walking Dead game.
Oh, okay.
The Good Walking Dead game.
It's a first person shooter. It's a story based driven game with a lot of dialogue. It's very brutal, very crude, and very rough. It is a beautiful looking game, but they curse their ass off and they fight. Could you just imagine the big bad wolf and the woodsman cussing each other out and having like a fist fight? Wow. And that's like your first scene.
Oh, wow. I like that. Okay. I'm going to have to go and download that.
And you know, I mean, it's pretty much played like The Walking Dead. I mean, there's nothing, there really isn't anything different about it, but it's just an overall round good time. You know, you see these fairy tales, and you can't really wait to see the next person who they stylize. So, you know, they got Beauty and the Beast and Snow White and the Frog Prince and all the other kind of people in there. And no, it's just a good time. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait for that episode to come out. So that's my pick.
Interesting. I might have to pick that up.
All right. So let's flip it over to Mike. Mike, what is one of your picks?
All right. So just want to get this out the way. I mean, unfortunately, I had to struggle. So the only thing I could afford was a lot of 3DS games. So a lot of my Nintendo love is going to go out here right now. And to kick it off, like I said, no particular order. It's actually, I'm going to start off with Project Crosszone.
Okay.
That game. Oh, my God. Thank you. If you can hear this, Monolith Soft, thank you for bringing this game to me. Thank you. Because Monolith Soft has always been one of those development studios that people heard about them, but have never taken them serious about their games. They trust me. You guys remember Xenosaga? Yeah, that's their game. That was their game.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that was their game, okay? That was the game right there. And for them to actually get out there and get the license, use licensed characters from Capcom, Namco Bandai, and Sega. I'm going to say a franchise that people have not heard in forever. They got the people from Shining Force in that game.
Stop playing.
No. They got people from Shining Force in that game. And the cool thing is, it's like, this game had to be petitioned really hard for us North Americans. So when you go play the game, yes, the entire game is going to be in Japanese dialogue with English subtext.
Okay.
But that's fine. I appreciate it more.
If you're hardcore into stuff like that.
Yeah, I appreciate it more. But the thing is, like, the story is crazy where you have the most different teams, like for example with Capcom, Chun-Li actually teams up with Morrigan from Darkstalkers.
Stop playing.
Dimitri teams up with Dante. So you have two demons on one team. And the cool thing is, their special, oh man, my favorite special still is the Dimitri and Dante one. It's nothing but like a rock star. First of all, Dimitri is just biting on somebody, like a vampire that he is. And then Dante is just walking around the whole entire thing using all his weapons. And then Dimitri lays out like a three-piece combo, a hard three-piece combo, kicks him over to Dante, and Dante does this jackpot special.
Wow.
And he'll actually say jackpot, and then bam, that's the special. I was like, that was a rock star special. Okay? I love that. Project Crosszone was practically one of the coolest RPGs, but the only thing I have to complain about is those fights are way too long. Those fights turn in from an easy 20-minute fight to almost an hour and a half fight, but just fighting a lot of enemies on the screen.
Oh,
and so, wow. Yeah, I had to do 8 more chapters till I finished. I'm still playing through it.
Oh, good luck.
it's a fun game. It's a really good game. Go pick it up if you haven't done it yet. It's really good. I like it. I really like it.
My next pick, and if you guys definitely want to jump in, let's all jump in together and get it off the board, was Tomb Raider.
Yes! Awesome game. I haven't played too much of it, but it's awesome. I love it.
Thank you,
Crystal Dynamics. Thank you.
No. Oh, I would not be in your celebration of Tomb Raider. I would not do it.
Why?
Okay, on our first show, I told you why. That game
We haven't met before, sir. I don't know you.
Apparently.
In our other life. Okay. Go ahead.
Let's hear the objection now.
All right, fine. I mean, this is your list. I'm not going to go your list, but let me tell you why. It is a repetitive game. There's not much to it. The dungeons are too small. I mean, the tomb is too small, and that boss fight is terrible. That's why.
Go find my jaw, because I think I just heard it hit the floor.
No, right? What was that?
Okay, all right.
Okay, that's cool. It's cool. Okay. It's cool.
Motherfucker.
That's cool. Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
It's fine.
Because he's going to hate it when I shit on his pick.
My pick is solid.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to hate when I show you your pick. Okay, see, Tomb Raider for me, I've never been, after the first two on place on the original PlayStation, I've never been a big Tomb Raider fan after that. I mean, granted, I did like the fact that it had some, you know, difficult puzzles and things of that sort, but I felt like sometimes you spent way too much time trying to figure out the puzzles and how to get to the next point. In, you know, in some of the ensuing Tomb Raider games, and not enough time really just, you know, getting through the meat of the story. So when they brought this back, they lined this game up a little bit more along with like how Uncharted is, you know, was more balls to the wall action. I mean, granted, yeah, you had puzzles. I mean, because granted,
the puzzles were great,
right? The puzzles were great, but you didn't have to always rack your brains out trying to figure them all out. Because, I mean, granted, like, right off the bat, when Lara finds herself in that first cavern, where you gotta light the, one of the things up just to, make an entrance so that way you can get out. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, yeah, I figured that out in about, like, a good 10 minutes, but it's not like, okay, well, you have to put this mirror here and turn the light there and spin around 3 times to say Methuselah just to get shit to open up. You know? But what I really did enjoy about this game, because we were just talking about this a few minutes ago, was that Tomb Raider was balls to the walls action all the way through. It's like you played it and you get physically exhausted just trying to get through. You got to catch your breath. It's not something that you want to sit and play for 4 hours without saying, okay, look, I need some quiet time.
I need to sit down.
I need to sit down.
I need to get away.
Because I was just telling you how when I played, Gina would come watch, because that was a television show, get a popcorn, put a little blanket on, and be like, go play. Because after a while, like, Gina, I'm tired. I can't do this no more.
I can't get going. I gotta stop for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, you know, it had a lot of good points to it. But the main thing that we pointed out that kind of took away from the game was the fact that Lara got a little bit too used to killing too soon. Mm-hmm. That was probably the only thing. I mean, it was a necessary evil because, I mean, granted, it wasn't one of those games where, like, The Last of Us, which we're going to talk about a few minutes later, where she could actually get around stuff without knocking out a few people, mm-hmm. you know, where she could do things stealthily. I mean, you had a couple of levels where you could kind of, but, you know, you always kind of felt more like you were pushed into an encounter. Like, okay, well, yeah, if you want to get to that gate, you got to kill those two guys standing by the gate, or else you're just not going to get through.
Right, you're not going to advance.
Right.
And I can agree about all that. But the one big thing that I like about the new Tomb Raider was the actual character of Lara.
Yeah.
Where she was afraid. It's her new adventure. She's nervous, but she's excited.
It's her first adventure.
First one, excited, nervous, and all that. And then the shipwreck happened, and then all hell just broke loose after that.
Yeah.
And she was afraid. But
And I really like some of the side characters, too, because even the other doctor that was on it, the real slimy guy.
Yeah, the slimy dude. Yeah, I was like, what? This guy's saying, I want to get out of here, and you're going to help me get out of here, or else I'll find a way myself. And
yeah.
She's like, all right, well, I want to get everyone off this damn island, so you either work with me, or I'm going to throw you under the bus.
Yeah. And he was throwing people under the bus left and right.
Yeah, he was.
But, I mean, I honestly thought it was comparable to Uncharted. I mean, granted, Uncharted was...
Uncharted 2.5. Sorry, I got a cold.
Yeah, you need to do something about that.
Yeah, I got that checked out.
Yeah,
it's been bothering me all year. I don't know.
But you know what? Now, I'm actually gonna run with that. I mean, if it was an Uncharted 2.5, it was a damn good.
It was a really good Uncharted 2.5.
Because granted, where the last couple of Tomb Raiders been, they did a really good job getting this back on track for future games.
But you know what? Yeah, I can say that. But I actually did like a lot of the other ones that came in between, like the Tomb Raider Anniversary, Tomb Raider Legends, and the Tomb Raider Underworld. Underworld wasn't the greatest one, but it was okay. It was that one was more puzzle. Uh-huh. That one was one of the more better puzzle Tomb Raider games.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm still stuck in the second main level. I was like, okay, how do you figure this out?
Mm-hmm.
You ever had a moment where you just sit there like, where do I go? How do I start this puzzle?
I'm getting a headache. I need to go smoke something.
Right.
Speaking of smoking stuff, Every what's your next pick?
Motherfucker. Saints Row 4.
Oh, good choice.
Saints Row 4. It wasn't as good as Saints Row 3, but it took a very interesting turn with the... Alright, so your character is the President of the United States. Alright.
I'm still trying to figure out how the hell that happened, but yeah.
The Saints.
They're Saints, okay?
The Saints are doing their thing. An alien invasion came down. And pretty much the funny part is that they wiped out the entire Earth, but left you there to try to fix things. And you have powers, and you're jumping like 50 feet in the air and running like 100 miles an hour, knocking over buses and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Saints Row 4.
I'll take that. I'll do that.
All right. So, for those who don't know, if you're going to play this game, play the PC version. The console version is pretty much frame rate hell city. Because once you start running like 100 miles an hour, the game go like 5 frames a second. Because there's too much stuff going on the screen. But it's still a good experience. It's still funny. It's still Saints Row. They have a lot of the same jokes as Saints Row 3, but they kind of like updated. You call your homies in to help you out with fights. I'm playing on hard for some dumb reason, and it took me forever to beat the game. But yeah, I mean, Saints Row 4 is a pretty good game.
Let me ask you a question. And this is for both of you, because I know both of you probably played all of not, most if not all of them. Did you guys really expect from the first one through now?
No.
This is where we end up.
No, I was not, because I thought I already took the game seriously enough because it was like one of those really tough hardcore gangster ones.
Yeah.
And then for Saints Row the Third come out of nowhere and they're running around robbing banks with like dummy heads and George Washington type style heads. I was like, wait, what? They're celebrities now?
I hated Saints Row 1 and 2. They're like the worst.
I hated them too. No, the thing that pissed me off was like they hold a lot of they had the stereotypical holding the gun sideways thing. I was like, really, really.
But they're the grand photo.
Yeah,
and I think that was it. I mean, when Saints Row came out, I mean, they already knew that they were going to be compared to GTA. Because, I mean, I thought it was good lip service, but it wasn't no GTA.
Mm-mm.
You know, but no, you couldn't have told me from the time that the 360 and the PS3 first came out to now that Saints Row would be doing what they're doing right now. And that's like, okay, we're just going to be absurd. We're just going to do some crazy stuff, and this is where we're going to wind up being. No, I did not see that coming.
It's like the South Park of video games right now.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. And you just, and like we said, we just didn't expect them to go from hardcore gangster, these Saints are like the toughest in the streets, and they're bombing this other gang, to being the President of the United States and beating people with dildos.
Yes. Oh, man. I'm mad that I think Saints Row 3, I think the dildo bat's even available at the beginning from Jump Street, and I was whacking around.
And have
I was like, woohoo! I was like, let's do this.
They have a dubstep gun where you shoot it at people, and people start dancing until they die.
Yeah, I wanted to use that so bad. I remember there was even the Saints Row 4 Special Edition.
Yeah.
It was a model of the dubstep gun. Yeah, you shoot it, it makes the noise and everything.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just, and then some of the missions... The guy, the head alien takes you through Streets of Rage, where you and this guy, you know, Johnny Gat, you guys are running down the street, beating up people to this real bad video game music and like this 8-bit audio. It's like crazy.
That's awesome. That's pretty dope. I like that.
It's called Saints of Rage. That's what it's called.
Saints of Rage.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
All right, so Mike, what's your next pick?
Next pick. It's going to be everyone's favorite game out today. If you don't own this, what the hell are you waiting for? It is Animal Crossing. That game, I played every last one of them, and it's ironic that the little cat, when you first meet him again in New Leaf, he says, I've been riding trains for over 10 years. And ironically, the first Animal Crossing game came out in 2002, and it's been over a decade. We only had, that game has only had 4 in its lifespan. But all 4 of them are like the most highly addictive games. If you like The Sims, you already like Animal Crossing. It's just, your best friends are going to be animals. You got squirrels, rabbits, dogs, cats. But, like, the fact that you could decorate your home, trust me, I'm on this, you become a better interior decorator when you play Animal Crossing. Because you start doing things, remember, it's how you live your life. And the fact that Tom Nook is not a loan shark, okay? He's not a loan shark. But the fact that he's just very patient, so you can take your time and pay your bill whenever you want, You can start doing the most menial things. But it's so much fun to do. It's a lot of fun fishing, digging up fossils. Attending town events like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. Everything is open to you. You can customize, you can decorate the town you want to do. Open full customization and more personality. You can give your town personality the way you want to.
Wow.
And the fact that this one, you're actually the mayor, so that means you can put these little fountains, you can put a fountain over here, you can put another an actual bus stop sign or like a bus stop type thing in your town somewhere, or better yet, you can put a lighthouse wherever you want it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, okay, sign me up. I was already sold from the get-go. The being the town mayor was the incentive.
Wow.
I didn't care because I'm on my last house payment and I'm gonna take my time paying that off because I want to add more stuff. I'm the mayor.
Sound like real life.
But to me, I think they should call it dictatorship because that way you can kick someone out wherever you want to, or move them out the way. Like, hey, I'm trying to put something here. It's a perfect spot, and you're in my way.
You gotta go. We'll buy you out.
Right. I'm gonna move you to a different spot. But that's fine. The Animal Crossing New Leaf, you have to get it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You have to.
All right, my next pick is going to be...
drum roll, please.
Which one should I do? Should I do this one, or this one?
Do that one.
All right, my next pick is going to be Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Good job. That's my pick as well.
All right. Just feel free to jump in. All right. Now, you know what my thing was when they initially announced Assassin's Creed Black Flag and they said it was going to do pirates... Man, there wasn't a side eye big enough I could give Ubisoft at that point where I was thinking to myself, okay, really, pirates?
Hey, but pirates are awesome, though.
Yeah, I mean, pirates are awesome, but I was thinking to myself, okay, how more could they fuck up this game after the third one?
Yeah.
Hey, the third one was actually pretty cool. I like the third one. I appreciated it.
Wait, I'm sorry?
I like the third one. I thought Connor.
You are now the first person I have ever heard said that.
I like Assassin's Creed 3. I appreciated it. I like Connor. I like his story. I like his background.
No, I have to give you a Consuelo of South Park. No. Assassin's Creed 3, no good. No. You know what? Well, let me say this. It wasn't the worst one. But it's definitely back there. See, Assassin's Creed 3 wanted too much to be like GTA in the 13 colonies. You know, we want to give you this open world wilderness where you can go hunting and do some trapping and get a caravan. Well, I'm like, okay. I didn't do hardly any of the side missions. I stuck to the main mission, you know. But you know what? I don't want to talk about Assassin's Creed 3 because every time I think about Assassin's Creed 3, I get a bad taste in my mouth.
It makes you sad. That game should have been great.
It gives me sad face. But see, what happened was they made it up with Black Flag. Now, coming back to that, like I said, I didn't see what they could do by making this all about pirates. But, man, let me tell you.
Can I just say something about pirates?
What?
Ubisoft, if you listen to this podcast, you need to contact Disney and get the license to do a DLC and feature Captain Jack Sparrow and do something about that. You don't have to get Johnny Depp's voice in it. I just want Captain Jack Sparrow to be somewhere involved in Assassin's Creed 4's DLC future. I want to see that happen so bad. If you can get Blackbeard, Calico Jack in there, I was like, you can get...
Why not?
Yeah. Why not? You got to get Captain Jack Sparrow and go on a mystical adventure. You got to go on some crazy-ass adventure with Captain Jack.
You know, there was supposed to be
a Pirates of the Caribbean game, but, you know, Disney being Disney.
Yeah, but Disney got to lighten up for once. They got Star Wars. Lighten up for once, Disney.
Yeah.
You got Star Wars.
But Grant, but that's just it, though. With Pirates of the Caribbean, not Pirates of the Caribbean, with Black Flag, this is the closest you was going to get to having anything
a
like
Pirates
that.
Pirates of the Caribbean experience.
Yeah, and I mean, so, and I haven't finished it yet. Let's be real about it. I haven't finished. I'm about halfway through. But, I mean, one, you got a character now that really has no ties with the Assassins or the Templars, but he eventually grows into it, but like, yeah, he just blundered into everything. Like, everything to him was about money. I'm trying to bring my woman in along with it. But to me, that was a good thing. It's like, okay, you know, for once, you don't have such a stoic mission where it's always about the Templars. It's not always about the Assassins and the war that they got going on between. You got this dude who's out there.
It's more about his greed.
Right.
Anything else.
Right. Right. And then the fact that, yeah, you want to give us open world? Well, guess what? You got a ship. You can go do some whale hunting. You can do some shark fighting, treasure hunting.
That ship is awesome.
Ain't it, though?
Yeah. I was watching my brother.
I was surprised how good they made sailing happen in that game.
Yeah.
But that seemed like it should be really boring. That shit is great.
Yeah. Because you know what I did? I did one of those missions where you get to take one of those coastal forts over.
Right. Oh, that's great.
And I'll shoot at one of those big-ass frigates that's like a level 20-something, and then I'll lure it right over to the guns and let the guns soften them up. Mm. Then I board the ship.
And then just take it all, and like, this is mine now.
Take the whole ship, yo.
And you know what? I don't even mind, like, using the map to send your fleet out on submissions. Yeah. That actually is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like the new replacement of like what Brotherhood and Revelations did when you sent out assassins.
Yeah.
And now you can send out ships. I'm like, no, this guy's literally a captain, okay? This guy is sending out ships to do his dirty work and go find some more stuff to do.
Yeah.
And of course, like, you know, if you play Revelations and Brotherhood and send out assassins, it's the exact same thing. You win by the missions determined by difficulty and how well trained they are. So if they can handle it, go ahead and send them on a 4-star mission. Go ahead.
Let me give the people the biggest brain fuck of them all. Spoilers. Alright, this is a game of your show. Spoilers. So, you know what happened in 3? Your man died. Okay?
Yeah.
You have a job at a video game company, and you are making the Assassin's Creed 3 game, and you gotta look and your whole job within the, what's the guy named? Conway's memory bank is just to pull memories for the game. That's the biggest mindfuck of them all. It's not this whole thing.
Yeah, that was messed up. And you know what? And it's under the cover of, we're making interactive entertainment software, but actually what we're doing, we're making interactive entertainment software to make a video game, but what we're actually doing is we're hiring people to play it so that way we can actually find out stuff to go take over the world. I was like, if that ain't some shit.
It's video games. I love you.
Yeah.
You always.
I was like, it takes a video game to make fun of what video games actually do.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That actually had me thinking for a moment. I said, it's kind of jacked up that, you know, some people play video games, but you got some people out there so good that they're actually uncovering stuff. And I was like, God only knows who's out there monitoring all that. Because you know what? One of my friends has been saying for years, when you have games like Battlefield or Call of Duty, somewhere along the line...
Call of Duty's a milk title now.
No. Follow what I'm saying. Somewhere along the line, that's actually how wars are going to be fought. You take the best, like, 1% of all gamers that can play Battlefield and Call of Duty, and if a war actually breaks out, well, we're going to take all of our game players here, and our enemy's going to take their best gamers there, and whoever wins the Battlefield game, that's who wins the war.
Right. That's how it's going to come down to. Debates. Endless debates.
You know? Because that's the thing. You got that certain percentage of people that can play certain types of games, and that's what they do. But, you know, coming back to Assassin's Creed, ever got a point. You know, that was the craziest part, to realize Abstergo is still trying to work their slimy magic.
Yeah, that, you know, everyone knows Abstergos are the Templars, are the modern age Templars now.
Yeah.
That's why they had Desmond for such a long time, and they're still trying to hunt him.
Yeah. But let me ask you this, though. You know, since I know both of you guys played it, I mean, because the question is starting to come about even from them, if they could pick another era that they could do, you know, what would you pick? Like a any time point in history?
Honestly, I would probably would like to see something with the old samurai, the old samurai way, or yeah, something in the Far East, something Far East. I don't care what it is; it could be China or Japan. Doesn't care. I prefer Japan anyway.
Yeah.
Something in the Far East. You know, it don't have to be relatable to Desmond's main character, but something in the Far East.
Because
you know, there's like tons of wars that fought over in the Far East between China and Japan. Tons of stuff is over there. There's a rich history over
that
in the Far
East.
That
could be his own game. You wouldn't have to have the Templars in the
No, that could be its own game. With some little Templar involvement and some little assassin involvement. Like, they hint, like, here, you're an assassin now. Even though you are a samurai. You're the most badass samurai ever in all the land, but you're also an assassin as well.
Yeah. What about you, Everett? If you could pick a time period.
I always had three periods I wanted to go back in for Assassin's Creed. I wanted to go back to slavery and have one of the assassins be like Axe and Slave.
Well, you got that with Abilene.
Yeah, with the Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I need a main game for that. No, I mean, that's kind of like a side mission.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm actually glad that you brought that up. Anybody that has the PS4, and I think they're doing it on the 3 also. But
they're remaking the entire game.
Yeah, they're going to make an HD version of Liberation for the Sony systems that's supposed to drop, I believe, next month.
I should probably get that. Because I know it takes place in between, and they reference off a lot of stuff in the with the South, but this one is more so involved with the Spanish.
Yeah, but one of the things that's cool about it that, you know, even Everett's picking up on, and I honestly like the direction that he's going in, is the fact that her character goes through three different phases during the game, because like part of the time she's playing as an assassin, another part she's playing as a lady, and another part she's actually a slave, because one of the missions on there is you have to actually infiltrate a plantation to save slaves.
Right.
Okay, well, I mean, I never played that one, but I don't know, I guess I wanted one. Well, you said it come out with PS4 and the next thing, so whatever. I want to take it back to Jerusalem and have it said Nightwish.
That'd be interesting.
Dude,
Jerusalem, and another one that people wanted to see is also something with Egypt, ancient Egypt.
That would have been one of my picks. But
that
would have
been a dope pick.
What were you saying, Everett?
No, I'm saying like Jerusalem or Egypt, have Jesus in there, have Moses in there, and just go through all that.
Your assassin is best friends with Jesus.
Hey, man, you know, Jesus might have some people who need knocked off, man. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but you know what? Now going back to Jerusalem, I honestly wish if they could go back and redo the first one and put in, like, some of the tricks and some of the stuff that you could do in some of the later ones.
Because you do remember, in the first Assassin's Creed, you were in ancient Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You were. You traveled
through
ancient Jerusalem, Damascus, and you went through one...
Damascus and Acre.
Acre, yeah. I think Jerusalem was one of my favorite locations, though.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones.
Yeah. And the whole setting was just brilliant, but it didn't have all the mechanics that it's evolved
into.
It was
like a beta test.
Yeah. So if they could go back to that. Yeah. Egypt would have been one of mine. Also, either Greece or Rome.
Yeah. Ancient Rome.
You know,
War going on, but you're also an assassin, so you fight behind enemy line for Caesar, you know, all that good stuff. Yeah.
But if I had to pick a modern location, believe it or not, or modern.
Iraq.
Actually, no.
No.
World War II.
Yeah. That's another one, because I know the guys at Smosh Games, like one of the guys, Sohinki, he said, no, World War II. It would be a pretty cool one, because
Nazis,
a lot of secret missions. Like, you know, we already had a lot of those games, like the old school Medal of Honors, the OSS, they did a lot of single missions where you're by yourself and you have to sneak behind enemy lines. Yeah. Do that.
But see, not only that, but you got to remember the Nazis and Adolf Hitler were deep into, you know, the mysticism and secret societies and all that stuff.
That's why they hire a lot of archaeologists to go through old Greece, old Rome to find treasure
and
stuff
like that.
And that's why they were in Africa.
Yeah.
That's why they were in Africa.
All right, so let's come back around to Everett. Everett, what's your next pick?
GTA 5.
Let me shit on that game, please. No, actually, you know what? No, no. I'm going to do like Kanye. I'm going to let you speak.
But you know what, though? I will say GTA 5. I'm not the biggest fan of that game. That game did entertain me a lot. Mm-hmm. I didn't finish it. I thought it was just way too long. I have other stuff to do. But I did enjoy two-thirds of that game. Franklin is my favorite GTA character of like all time now. Uh-huh. Mike is a pretty good GTA character. I hate his family, and that was the purpose. Trevor, though. Trevor was just too much.
He's one of my favorite characters.
Is he?
I like Trevor.
Trevor's too much for me, man. It just seemed like they didn't know what they wanted to do with him.
That's the reason why I like him, because I look at Franklin and Michael, those two guys are great characters. I think they're more like stereotypical characters. Like, Michael's going through a midlife crisis.
Right.
And Franklin's trying to make a name of himself by doing small petty crimes, but he wants to do something big. You know? He wants that Ocean 11 type kind of rob deal that he wants. Trevor's just a guy like, I'm gonna burn the world. I'm gonna be the guy sitting on top of the throne. I'm gonna go along with it. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna drink my whiskey, have my shotgun, and I'm gonna kill until I die first.
Yeah, but come back a second now. But Everett, now it wasn't one of your biggest games. But why was it one of your why doesn't make your top five?
Because I mean, it's a really good game. It's a fantastic game. You do a lot of stuff in it. I think the story, through what I played of it, was really good. The characters are very effective. Even though I don't say Trevor was one of my favorite characters, that's effective. Even though I say I hate Michael family, that's very effective.
Yeah.
What was Franklin's guy? His friend. I love that guy.
I know you're talking about, I cannot remember his name right after that.
That guy is great.
Yeah.
That guy is fantastic. He's a fantastic character.
Yeah. Now, you know what? Oddly enough, now that made it your top five, but I'm sure you saw my blog list, but GTA didn't make my top five.
Right.
You know, because I still kind of felt like if you played one GTA, you played them all. You know, hey, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with that, but, you know, all the characters felt like, okay, been there, done that with the characters. I mean, yeah, the stories were good, but to me, it wasn't compelling enough to keep me in long enough to finish it. But something that me and Mike had discussed earlier also is really, I think if I had played it like earlier this year, if it had been released like around spring of this year when there wasn't a whole lot of other games out there at the time, I probably would have taken a lot more time to really get into it. Because, yeah, you're dropping GTA in September, right at the same time all the other big games are releasing.
It's FIFA, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, not even FIFA. I mean, not only that, but you had that. You got your Call of Duties. You got your Battlefields.
You got your new consoles.
Yeah, thank you. You got all this consoles. Stuff dropping at the same time. I don't know how many people I talked to that had GTA. Yo, I'm trying to hurry up and get through GTA so I can
play everything else.
Right.
GTA was one of the games that been good on next gen. If they brought on next gen, it probably would have been number two. It probably would have been on your top five.
Yeah. It would have been. It really would have been. I mean, and that's the thing. I was like, okay, I don't really see all that much of an evolution from GTA 4. The only really big things that I got from this was like, okay, we're in a brand new city. The map is a whole hell of a lot bigger. Now, I'm going to give them that. It's like, yeah, that map is freaking huge. And the fact that you switch between three different characters with different storylines. I mean, yeah, you know, you got all the bases of a GTA game. But, you know, what are you throwing at me that I haven't really done before in other GTA games? And my answer was not much. You know, and again, you know, I know I might be the minority, but that's really how I felt about that. You know, it's like, you know, it's still a good game, but, you know, it wasn't mind-blowing. It wasn't like, yes, this is the game that I'm going to think about for years and years upon end. I mean, and again, everybody will disagree with me on this, but GTA 4 was that game for me. You know, there's still a lot about GTA 4 that resonates with me that GTA 5 just doesn't hit for me.
Yeah, that's respectful. But I do think GTA 5 is better than 4.
Okay.
It looks better than 4. It plays better than 4. I think the story might be better than 4. GTA Online, though. That train wreck.
That was a train wreck waiting to happen. That was a train wreck waiting to happen. Because I told Harry earlier, my girlfriend had like the worst experience to the point like she didn't feel like comfortable playing the game online anymore. Even with the thousands of compensation that Rockstar was trying to do, making sure everyone was getting that extra $5K in their online bank accounts, it's like, just that's not enough for me. I lost everything. I leveled up like 20 times and she lost all of it.
Wow.
All of it was gone. She was like, nope, I'm done. Can't play it. I'll just play the single player after that. She was done with it. Mm. Worst experience for her to the point like it just like no. That's just said enough. It's just like I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Single player though, she's still playing.
So still play that. So yeah, that's our second game that we're at odds on. So but hey, this is why we all have our own list.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I mean GTA's gotta make the list. So all right, let's come back over to you, Mike. Mike, what's your third pick?
The man has finally got his praise in the world of video games where he's got where he needs to be deserved, the year of Luigi's Mansion. One of the major games to kickstart his whole entire year. I was always a fan of Luigi's Mansion. I thought it was a great launch title for the GameCube back in 2002. I thought it was a great one. I thought it was a really good game. It was really different. It was very different. And we actually got to know the character Luigi better to what he is. He's not the powerful Mario type. He's not afraid. He's a person that we can relate to. He's afraid of ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know.
Well, he's a ghost now.
Luigi is awesome. Luigi's Mansion was a game that brought back the original style with a lot of new mechanics and a lot of new gameplay, and the best part, a lot of new mansions to explore. Mm-hmm. He still had his own little personal mansion that he got from the first one, and they reference off a lot of first stuff from his beginnings, his upcomings. But for him to investigate a new situation where he's the only person that can solve it,
yeah,
I was like, yeah, and absolutely not a zero reference of Mario in this game. Mario's not even mentioned. Mario's not seen. He does not make a cameo. It's full Luigi. This is his own game. He gets his own spotlight. And it's a different situation that only he can solve it.
Right.
Him and Professor Egad. So when you play it, it's like, okay, this is a Luigi's game. Whereas the first one, you were playing as him to rescue his brother. Not that terrible Mario is missing crap. No, that does not count. That does not count. Luigi's Mansion was a definitive game back in 2002 that should got more respect. Those iffy reviews, I thought it was an awesome game. And Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon was a great pickup. The online's also a lot of fun, too. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun where you traveling to see who can get the highest score or capture the most ghosts. So, like, you're speedrunning through the entire online. But it's a lot of fun. I don't do a lot of online games, but that was one of my favorite ones.
Right.
I like that a lot.
Cool. All right. My fourth pick for my best game of 2013 has to be Bioshock Infinite.
And that's my number one pick.
Huh?
That's my game of the year.
Yeah. Well, it's a toss-up between this one and my last pick, but Bioshock Infinite was definitely an experience to remember. The one thing that I really did like about this was, okay, yeah, we're not going to be underwater anymore. We're going to take you from underwater to the sky. And we have a mysterious mission. We're gonna send this guy out to go find this girl and bring her back. Excuse me. And if he brings her back, we're gonna forgive his debts. And what I liked about the game was they weren't shy about saying, okay, well, this is a game that's gonna take place in 1910 in 1910 America. It's an alternate history game, but you're still going to see some of the same issues that America faced back then. I mean, so yeah, you.
Ooh, yeah, boy, did you face those issues?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Look at this pretty white girl.
Irrational games were not afraid to reference those. They were not afraid.
Yeah, racism, eugenics, religious issues. I was like,
what?
Wow.
All right, I'm just gonna ignore this and continue shooting.
Now that was the game that Gina decided not to watch. I think after the first hour, she's like, you have at that.
It's funny though, because that whole race issue, it wasn't long in the game, but they definitely addressed it.
Oh man, yeah, did they? And matter of fact, it's not the fact that it wasn't long, but it, you know, the parts that you got, it was vivid.
Yeah, it was harsh.
It's one that makes you say, like, it's one of those ones like, say, excuse me?
Really?
Did the game just say that?
Yes, the game did just call somebody a nigger in that game. Yeah.
All right.
You heard that. And they used it in context.
Yeah, they did. Deep context. Like, whoa.
Yeah. But not only that, but I also think you had one of the best character pairings that you could see.
Elizabeth.
Yeah. Elizabeth is dope.
Yeah.
Dope character.
That's how you have a second character in the game that you can't control that helps you out. Okay, I'm running low on ammo. She got your back. Okay, I need some loot. She got your back. You need some character development. You got that. And you got it in spades.
And if you need some help.
Oh, yeah.
She got your back.
Definitely.
Hey, I got some sauce for you. Here you go.
Like, whoa, you found this money for me? Sweet. I'm going to go get me some health items now.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've really enjoyed all the aspects. And then, of course, the twist. Now, yeah, you know what? We're spoiling this one. Go ahead, Everett. Go ahead, Everett.
I'm sorry.
This man
was clapped
and everything. He's like, I got this.
I love this goddamn game, yo. There are people who shit on that ending. That ending is fantastic. You don't like the end, fuck you. That ending
the end was better than the first one.
That ending is so... And the first one was tough. Yeah, this one is great. One. Would You Kindly doesn't beat I am your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I stole you from me. That is crazy.
You know what? No. Back it up a second. Because you know what? And the reason why it blew my mind so much, because I was still, the whole game, I was still waiting for them to hook up eventually. Because I kept saying, okay, this is taking too long. When are y'all going to hook up? And then as things kept going, I said, you know what, there's a reason why they have not hooked up yet. And I know I'm almost at the end of this damn game.
They're going to go to France or New York or something like that.
Yeah.
They're going to go, they're on the ship, they're going to fly over there. They're going to come have a hub and a wife, and the box or somebody going to come have them as they do it. None of that happened.
Oh, no. No. You don't get the happy ending.
There's no such thing as having a happy ending in the shooter.
But then the mind-blowing part, now here's the mind fuck for this, too, is the fact that the whole time long, when the creators were putting this game together, they kept telling us that it's not going to have anything to do. I mean, you'll have elements of the first two games, but it really doesn't tie into the first two at all. And where do you end up at the end of the game? In Rapture.
Yeah, ironic.
I was like, son of a bitch.
Damn it, this is where the tie-in comes in. You sit there looking at it like, damn it, this is where the tie-in comes in? Fuck you, Irrational. Damn it, Ken Levine.
They're always a man. They're always a light tower. It's fantastic.
Because you know what? As soon as I saw the lighthouse, the very first time, right off the bat, when I saw the lighthouse, I said, yeah, this isn't going to end well. I mean, I'm still blown that they're going up in the sky. I said, but yeah, if somehow I get out of this game without seeing Rapture, it'll be a miracle.
Little did you know, you spoke too soon.
Yeah, way too soon.
Man, Bioshock Infinite.
But yeah, it was a good game. And you know what? That and Tomb Raider were the only two AAA titles I played on PC this year. And Bioshock Infinite was easily one of the best looking games this year.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. I loved the art in it. The art was really gorgeous.
Oh, that scene where old Elizabeth was in New York.
Yeah.
And you can see the whole, it was like a moving painting.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic.
Yes.
I want that like a frame to hang up on my wall. It's beautiful.
Yeah, but that definitely was an excellent game. So I still say like this: if you haven't played it by now, and you missed any of the Black Friday sales where that game was selling for dirt cheap, you should just be ashamed of yourself. But get it anyway.
I still want to.
Yeah. All right, Everett. What's your next pick?
Well, she took my picks.
I'm sorry.
All right, I'll take it. Okay, so I guess I'll pick a honorable mention then. Because Grand Theft Auto 5 from Woman Number 2, Bioshock Woman Number 1, I'll give an honorable mention to... Dead Rising 3.
Okay, that's a fair pick.
Dead Rising 3.
Dead Rising 3.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me cut in. On what system? On 360 or
it only came out on one. Xbox One.
Okay.
It didn't come out on 360. Dead Rising 3. It's a very good looking game. It's not at the high resolution. It's not the best frame rate. But damn it, there are zombies everywhere.
Yeah.
There's like at least 150, 200 zombies everywhere you go, like roaming that street. And it's pretty nuts that you have to deal with all this crowd control. They're just grabbing on your vehicle. They're riding with you. They're these maniacs who just can't deal with what's happening here. So they're turning crazy. And they're trying to kill you in this effect. The side missions can be a little, you know, dull, but they give you so much experience points so you can level up your character.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I got, and the combo will have been so good. So you can combo vehicles now.
Cool. Let me ask you a question.
Wait.
Oh, go ahead.
The first vehicle I ever comboed was, one of those machines that smooth out pavement with the big rotor in the front.
Yeah.
And a motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
And what it comboed with, it was the rotor in the front of the motorcycle with spikes on it that shot flames. And I mowed down zombie after zombie with this thing. And that was amazing.
Cool.
That sounds awesome.
I was just saying anything about it, like, wow.
I was just imagining that. I was like, wow.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know where this flamethrower came from or where these spikes came from.
Yeah.
But it worked.
But let me ask you this, though. Now, compared to the other Dead Rising games, does this one, with the hundreds and hundreds of zombies, is this is because also the system is taking advantage of the power that it has to put that many on the screen?
Right. So the time constraint that the other Dead Rising games had, they took out. There's still a timer, but it progresses from level to level rather than the overall game.
Okay.
So that was one of the other biggest things that took me away from the other Dead Risings, because I was like, man, I'm not going to finish this. The time constraint is too stressful. Now I can just play it and not worry about it. There is a nightmare mode, but the time constraint come back. Excuse me. And, you can always, you know, level up and start over, like, in other Dead Risings. And you can level up all the way to 50 and start to start the nightmare mode, which you should. Otherwise, you're crazy. But, yeah, man, the game's good. It's a good game. It's fun. Like I said, not the prettiest. It looks the red loose in, like, 720p. But, yeah, man, it's fun. If you play a game for resolution, you're an idiot. Play games because you like good games.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of hearing this whole debate on, especially from the other side. You play the video gamers. No hate at all. But you got to realize that Super Mario 3 is still one of the greatest games of all time. And that game is never going to look any better than it has now.
It was perfect platforming.
It's perfect. The game is perfect.
People want to
so if you,
play.
So if
to know
you're complaining about how a game looks, go back and play that game and tell me you don't like it because of how it looks.
You like it because how it plays and how
the
platforming. I think two of the best platforming altogether is Super Mario Bros. 3 and Super Mario World. They both have perfect platforming. It wasn't the prettiest game. And I can honestly say that the original Super Mario Bros. 3 on NES was not the prettiest game you can look at. It was not.
But,
but it's one of the perfect platformers that you can have. Like, you can nail it down to a point, like, if you use one of, like, the airship levels and you got the cannonballs, if you platform it correctly, trust me, you can get mad one-ups just, like, jumping on cannonballs at perfect timing and perfect ratios. You can do that, and you go through the whole entire game with no problem. Plus, it was also one of the harder platformers that you can have. It was also one of the harder ones. Both Super Mario Bros. 3 and Super Mario World were one of the harder platformers. That Forest of Illusion, though, that's a different story. That Forest of Illusion and Super Mario Bros. World, that's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're back on the Nintendo kick, Mike.
Number four.
Mm-hmm.
Number four. I'm 22 years old. I can never stop loving it. Pokemon X and Y. Honestly, one of the best Pokemon games out now since we had the original Gold and Silver. The fact now that you can actually customize your character and traveling around is almost easier. You can travel around by roller skates, on a bike, through your Pokemon, and you can actually get on your Pokemon's back and actually like walk around in different areas, in different select areas. This one had the battling system down was also better as well. And like the new Pokemon, but they also still showed a lot of love to the old generation. That's why I love the fact that you can actually pick when you get to the major city, where you can actually pick Charmander, Bulbasaur, or Squirtle again and have them in your party. And not only have that, the Mega Evolution was one of the coolest little nifty little features. Like, I have a Mega Venusaur right now, and my Mega Venusaur, it's like a bigger version, but it's actual, you can actually see the whips coming out, and you can actually see them move and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite, all-time favorite one is the Mega Lucario. That dude is the same Lucario, more colors are added in them, and he has like spikes sticking out on his toes, where I was like, yeah, this guy's not fucking around. Lucario was already a Pokemon that you didn't want to fuck with anyway, but this guy, he's got spikes on his feet, so I'm not messing with this one. But yeah, this Pokemon was one of the best ones, and this one's going to be here to stay. And the new data bank, where you actually transfer your older Pokemon games into the new ones, so a lot of the Generation 4, yeah. Generation 3s, you can transfer them over. I was like, oh, I'm about to have like 16 parties going on right now. I'm about to do this. But yeah, Game Freak still knows how to make a good Pokemon game. They still know how to do it, and Nintendo still loves the fact that they can get them on board.
Cool.
So I'm not mad at Pokemon X and Y. It was addicting. It was awesome.
Alright, cool. Alright,
My last one,
and everybody feel free to jump in on this one. You know, that way we can probably wind this one down anyway. Best way to go out on a PS3 was The Last of Us.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
I haven't played it, but I know it's one of the better games on PlayStation 3.
I haven't played it too, but it looks fantastic.
And let me preface this by saying I'm not a big post-apocalypse gaming kind of person. You know, I hate when that theme gets run down so much to the point where, like, you know, you play one, you play them all.
Hey, the best one was Fallout 3. You all know that.
I was just getting ready to say that. Fallout
3 was still the best one. That's why, I mean, there's nothing wrong with New Vegas, but it was not Fallout 3.
Yeah.
Because it hit home. It hit home. When you play it, when you walk into a beaten-up Bethesda or a beaten-up Fairfax or a beaten-up DC, it's like, wow. I feel bad now. Yeah. I'm grateful that I have what I have now.
Yeah. But the thing that made this a standout game was the evolution of the characters. I mean, you had Joel, who had, right early on in the game, had gone through losing his daughter. And then you get the flash forward into the future where now he's being tasked. That was an
opening spoiler for you folks.
Yeah, for anybody that hasn't played it yet.
That's an opening spoiler.
But now he's
No!
Yeah, that happens. I'm sorry.
It happened so early too.
Yeah, but the thing of it was, it sets the table for the fact that he gets tasked with getting Ellie, who might be the last chance for humankind. He has to get her cross country to this lab because there's something about her that makes her special that she might save everyone. So you watch him, and the thing of it is, the game takes place in seasons. You know, you go through the summer, and you know what? I didn't realize until later on that, yeah, this is actually happening. You go through the summer, the fall, and the winter, and the spring, and you watch these two characters develop. Like you know, he's really resentful of her being around, but then you find out that a lot of that is he reminds her so much. She reminds him so much of his daughter. So you got a whole lot of that going on. And then, you know, initially he's like, I'm just in it just to get her to where she's going and I'm done. And by the end of the game, they have come to be so close. They've come to be so close to each other that, you know, that's who he's looking out for. He wants to make sure that nothing bad ever happens to her. But then there's a nice little twist that, you know, eventually they get someplace where they need to go, and he has to make a decision, and he's going to have to live with that decision forever, and because it's going to affect everybody, and then it's how he breaks it down to her. And when you see all these things happen at the end of the game, you're like, oh my God, really? We went out like that? Are you serious? This is one of those games I think that really got talked about because of the ending, because the storytelling concept of this was so great that it's just hard to believe that, you know, somebody actually left you hanging and like, okay, you don't get to have an absolute happy ending. You get something, but for the something that you get, you know, you're going to have a morality tale still going on in your mind long after the credits roll up. And like I said, I was just really mind blown about how they did that, you know. And one of the other things that I did like is, you know, while, you know, you had a nice balance of action and non-action, there were many times where you didn't have to take advantage of what was going on. Like, okay, I need to fight my way through. I need to shoot my way through. Because if anything, they always encouraged you to make sure that you conserve your ammo, you conserve your resources, because resources were indeed limited. And I can't think of how many times going from point A to point B, like, damn, I wish I could find some bullets.
Right. It's one of those moments.
I mean, they didn't make it easy for you at all. They really did not make it easy. So, yeah, a lot of times a fight where any other games, it would have made sense for you to just roll into. Yeah, I might want to avoid this fight for a while.
I think I want to just skip around this. Yeah. I'm not prepared for this fight at all.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. I mean, this game really did show that it was every last man, woman, and child for themselves. Because you had a lot of concepts. Put this way, this was one of the closest things you were going to get to a Walking Dead story without it being set in the Walking Dead universe. You know, you had concepts with the loss, the suicide, things that happen to children.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Definitely.
Because trust me, I got recently so knee deep. Thank you, AMC, for running that big marathon for The Walking Dead leading to season 4, because I really got into it.
Yeah.
There were some lot of sacrifice choices in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That made me want to cry.
You get plenty here. And I'm going to tell you like this. You know, if this was the last great game that you would get from the PS3, you know, right before the new consoles came out, this was it. This really was
Naughty Dog knows how to make a goddamn good game. Who would have thunk it that the guys that make Crash Bandicoot could actually make two stellar franchises.
Oh, well, yeah.
Two stellar franchises to break away from that innocent platforming cartoon lifestyle to an actual game that's been taken serious.
Uh-huh. All right, Avery, what's your last pick?
Well,
let me take them all.
I'm done.
Okay, well, we're going to defer to Mike. Then, Mike, what's your last pick? Take us home.
Last pick. Oh, man. If you didn't get this on 3DS on November 22nd and you've played the original 92, The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. By far, I have to redo my top 5 favorite Zelda games now because of this game. And literally, in my top 5 Zelda games, this would literally sit right next to A Link to the Past. It would sit right next to it. And the thing is like, this one was the perfect Zelda game, top-down style, but with a new concept. The entire overworld is the exact same overworld in Link to the Past. So wherever the Lost Woods was, you can go there. The Death Mountain, it's there. The Kakariko Village, it's there. The Eastern Palace is still in the Eastern Palace. The Water Temple is still in the southeast area, and the Desert Temple is still in the southwest area.
Yeah,
it's the exact same thing. And the best part, as an incentive, because they didn't want to do too much as far as like heart piece location goes, they're in the exact same place in the original one, but it's a new way to get to it, thanks to the new feature where you can go into the walls. And going into the walls is actually a pretty cool. It's actually a really good feature that's not like a buzzkill. It's not a buzzkill because there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of nifty crooks and nannies that you can use to get to it. And transferring from the Hyrule overworld to the Lowrule overworld, which is in this case to the original players, the Dark World, is the exact same thing. Some of the layouts is also different because it's more of a kingdom now rather than just an alternate universe. It's more of a kingdom. So you see a broken down mess of Hyrule, and as well as people that hate each other. Because in Hyrule, everyone loves each other. Right. But in Lowrul, everyone hates each other. They hate each other. They even hated. They know about Hyrule people. They just don't like them because how easy lifestyle they have. Believe it or not, small tiny little spoiler, the world of Lowrul had its own Triforce. But the sages destroyed theirs because their Triforce brought destruction to their lands. It brought destruction.
So I was about to say it was the opposite.
It's the opposite. Yeah. And when you meet the character Hilda, which is Lowrul's Princess Zelda, and Yuga, which is Lowrul's Ganon, I'm not going to spoil that. I'm not going to spoil it. It's a twist. You'll see. But those two have a different agenda in mind. They have a different agenda. And the sages, they actually have new sages where one of them is like, it's like also the Ocarina of Time where like a little child is actually the green sage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's different. And a lot of the bosses from the original game also make a new comeback appearance, but they're in new dungeon areas. That makes them different. So, you know, Link Between Worlds, Eiji Aonuma, he's going to take care of the Zelda franchise in good hands.
Yeah.
I have every faith in that. Yeah. I got every faith in that.
All right. So we're going to wrap this up. You know, these were our big picks of the year, so you got a whole bunch of differing opinions on what we thought were like some of the best games of the year. And what we're going to ask everyone to do that's listening to this podcast, make sure you come to Gamers United on Facebook. We have a big group.
Come on, guys. Come on over.
200 people plus and more still joining up. And what we're going to try to do, we're going to do this, but also what we would like to do, we're also going to start doing some video podcasts also. You know, we're going to do some vlogs, so that way, yeah, you can actually see some.
You can see our happy faces.
Yeah, as we do.
And our scum faces because of disappointment and upset and anger and
sad eyes and things of that sort.
I know, man. Too rare. Just
hey! Disappointment. You leave that, leave that out.
Yeah, you stifle that, man.
And I just want to say that although this year it wasn't a big one as far as like console wise. That does not mean I still haven't played Tomb Raider. I did play Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I own Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
I did play BioShock Infinite. I think I'm halfway through the game, thanks to my girlfriend, but she wanted it back because she was itching for it. And I also did play a little bit of what else did I play? I played also Grid 2, which is a big racing game that came out earlier this year in May. It's free for PS Plus members, so if you're PS Plus, go get it. But yeah, out of those three, I think Tomb Raider. Yeah.
Cool.
I need to get The Last of Us. I gotta find some kind of money to go get it. Get it.
You need to get that, because like I said, once you see that ending, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Be like, damn.
Damn.
Yeah. But yeah, folks, you know, we're gonna tell you to keep your ears out. If you don't, quote unquote, hear from us, look for us, because we got a lot of things that we got going on where we're going to try to revamp and get this podcast back on track. So, till next time, I'm H.
I'm Mike.
I am Everett.
And one last thing, Everett, me and Harry already discussed this about what is your anticipated game of 2014? It's the choices. It's whatever you're looking forward to. It doesn't matter.
What game are you looking forward to? My top pick was Watch Dogs.
Mine was Watch Dogs too. Watch Dogs and Destiny are my two top picks.
Yeah.
Jeez, man. That's just a question. I got a bunch though. I got Titanfall, Watch Dogs. That South Park game looked pretty good. Definitely good. That Titanfall, Watch Dogs, and South Park.
That was my same exact three. Except Harry's third one is also The Witcher 3. You're looking forward to that.
So, I haven't played Witcher 2 yet,
dude. We'll discuss this offline. We'll definitely discuss this offline. But yeah, so those are our picks. Those are our most anticipated looks also. So we'll see you all again on the next Gamers United, and we're out.
All right.
Out.